Hello and welcome to the perfectly imperfect duo, Sari and Lily. And I'm pretty amazed that we are here fully a week in a row from the last time. We've stuck with what we said. It's not Lily, it's me. And today we're here to talk all about intrusive thoughts. So again, this is a topic that is probably fair to say close to our hearts. So would you say, Lily, in a way that we've both experienced it and we do get asked about it an awful lot, don't we?
Yes, yes. It causes people a lot of suffering. I was going to say unnecessary, but I don't want that to come off in like a patronizing way, because it can be so scary. And especially the ones that, well, all intrusive thoughts are unwanted and they go usually against what people, the opposite of what anybody would want. But there are times when it really makes people not want to live or feel like they don't deserve to be loved. They don't deserve to live anymore. And it's never the thoughts that are the problem. It's their thoughts about the thoughts. And these, you know, are very innocent. You know, Dr. Pettit always says innocent, underlined 100 times, like our innocent overreaction to the thoughts.
Yeah. And just to have to say, like, I don't think you could ever sound patronizing if you tried, Lily, by the way. Something you ooze is definitely compassion. It's not, I don't think you could come across as patronizing. But anyway, interestingly, intrusive thoughts have not been on my radar personally for quite some time until I got pregnant. And I think in part they've started to come to the forefront because, as the brain does, it's like survival. Okay, what do I need? How do I cope? What do I need to get me through this? And one of the times I struggled with intrusive thoughts the most in my life was when I was postnatal with my daughter 15 years ago. And so when I'm laying in bed at night, you know, lower state of mind, lower level of consciousness, I'm like, oh, is everything okay with the world? You know, I'm having a baby, is everything going to be all right? That's one of my, if I'm going to be fearful of anything, it's probably that. And I remember it was probably only a couple of weeks ago, they were coming back quite vividly in that, oh, you remember when you had that thought and that was uncomfortable? But when you had that thought, one of the ones I remember, I'm putting myself on the spot here, but it's fine, is I remember her being a tiny baby and me almost, because she was so precious and fragile, well, they're not as fragile as we think, but she was, you know, precious and fragile to me. And I remember sometimes even touching her, like, am I hurting her? What if I drop her? What if this, what if that? And I can remember once when I was really postnatal, hormonal, shattered, all the rest of it. And I remember just touching my finger gently on her forehead and thinking, what if I press really hard? What if that then escalated to me hurting her in some way? And so I started to have rumination around that sort of thing, intrusive thoughts. And they were torturous because they were so far, like you just touched upon a minute ago, so far removed from what I would ever want to consider myself as a parent, as a human being. And yet they pop up, and they pop up from absolutely nowhere. And, you know, even with this understanding and being in this conversation for quite a while now, not a while compared to a lot of people, but for me a while, you know, I'm thinking, well, that I could still be having those this time around. I don't believe I will be as scared of them. I hope that they would then pass quicker because I wasn't as fearful of them, but I'm probably going to have some. And so it's got me thinking about that a little bit again. It's like, oh yeah, it can actually be quite overwhelming. And as you say, because they wouldn't be intrusive thoughts if we relished them and welcomed them. They're intrusive because we don't want them. They are uncomfortable. They are far removed from who we are. And then comes the resistance, doesn't it, of, well, why am I thinking this in the first place? There's got to be something wrong with me to be having. What kind of a mother imagines if they press harder, they might hurt their child? Like, what kind of a person does that make me? And actually, it's no reflection of me as a person. But without understanding that and seeing that, you know, I didn't tell anybody I was having that thought because I didn't want anybody to judge me or think I was crazy.
Yeah. I completely agree. And there's a few things that were coming up for me when you were sharing. And I also know that if you have them, future you will handle it, you know? And, oh, but what was first coming up, I remember you had done a little video of, you were talking with somebody and they were talking about music on their playlist. Mm-hmm. And then what came up was heart attack. And they said, oh, does this mean that somebody I know is going to have a heart attack? Like, am I? And you would ask them, what if it said, you know, winning the lottery or $1 million, or I can't remember, you know, what do you think? Oh no, what if I win the lottery? Like, what if I become a millionaire? Oh,
wonderful.
You know, and it's, I'm sure that there's thought, you know, where you picture, okay, I'll share it with me. You know, when I used to be a vegetarian, and then I always kind of wanted to be a vegan. I don't anymore. I think it's too restrictive for me, but I used to have this dream that, oh, my daughter and I would be like vegans together. And then I would also, one day we're going to go to Paris, or, you know, we share clothes, and maybe all of that sounds superficial. But, you know, if you have that thought of a fun thing with your baby, of like, they're so cute, I just want to eat them up. What if I kiss them? You're not like, oh, what if I just kiss them forever? Or what if we become vegan? Like, you're not scared. But when you have that thought, then it gets really brought to life. But we don't even remember, like, we don't pay much attention to those good thoughts. They come and they go. And that's what we should actually be giving more weight to. But when we can give more weight, because we very innocently, when we don't know, and if we think, what kind of person has those thoughts? And then we try to figure out, is this something that I would do? And how do I prevent it? Because oftentimes people think they're having intrusive thoughts all day long, when they're not. They had a thought and then they're unintentionally imagining it to try to gauge their reaction, to say, would I really? What if I pressed in on this soft spot? Like, would I? No, you know, and then, no, I'm instantly, oh, I'd never do that. But then if they're like, but I don't know. And then they just go round and round and round, and they make themselves miserable and crazy, just that endless loop of rumination. And when I first came home, I didn't have any that I remembered. I'm sure I had some thoughts with my daughter, but I don't know, they just flowed. But with my son, the first time I got out of the car from the hospital, I pictured dropping him and his head splitting open. And it was so, I'd never, because that's what, you know, intrusive thoughts, if people, you know, sometimes they're what if, but sometimes they're almost commands, like pushing their soft spot. Or I know we're talking a lot about babies, but they can be about, I've talked with a lot of young women that are in or their early 20s, maybe they're 20, 21, and they live with their moms and they love their mom so much. And then for some reason they had a thought, what if you hurt your mom? And it's like, so hard, because they're like, my mom is the person that I love the most. And it's often sometimes it happens with new dads too, changing their baby's diaper, or people that were abused or molested as children or as adults themselves. And then they have their own children, or they work with children. And then they have a thought, what kind of person would do that? What if I could ever do that? Or I've talked with quite a few parents that just had a thought when they were changing their diaper and their baby's diaper, and then went back so many times. I guess I said we were focusing a lot on parents, but that was an aside.
Like you say, though, it is one, it's the same with everything. It's like the same, you know, I suppose for me, it's just something that's come up at the moment, obviously being pregnant, but I think it kind of works the same anyway in every aspect. And when you were talking then, the thing that came to me, and I sort of went back in my head to that time when I was so harsh on myself, and you're right about this whole, you know, is it really all day? I might have that one thought, and then it's very easy to dismiss the fact that I've fed that child during the night, I've nursed it, I've shown it love, I've cuddled it, I've dressed it, I've taken care of it, and then I've had this one thought and suddenly I'm a shit parent. And it's the same with so much in life, that, you know, when I used to be really anxious, I could, you know, have anxious thoughts creep in on, you know, on and off all day. But yeah, I could be at work and I could be doing this and I could be to other people, coming across as if everything's okay and managing and actually still getting a lot in some ways out of my life. And yet I'd be like, oh, today's been awful. When actually it might be that it was awful for 15 minutes here and then 10 minutes there. And it's so easy to dismiss all the positives that we are doing, that we are managing, that we are functioning and coping. And it's so easy to just focus on that moment that feels so intense.
Yeah. Well, and I know that sometimes people, you know, if they have an intrusive thought that's about sex or harm, or, I mean, intrusive thoughts can be anything, but sometimes people think, you know, they might hear that, all right, yeah, a lot of the time I'm being a great mom or a friend or a wife or a partner and an employee and I'm cooking. I can't just ignore that though. I'm sick. Like, what kind of person, you know? And then they also almost feel, how can they not focus on that and analyze it and get to the bottom of it? Because what type of person had that thought during that time or whatever it is, you know? And they almost feel like that they're putting on a front or a show at the other times. And if people only knew that they were this sick person that thought about stabbing their mother or hurting children. And the thing is that those thoughts are unwanted. They're just, they're always the opposite of who that person is. They go against their morals and they just had one thought and then innocently underlined 100 times, got really freaked out. And so sometimes it got stickier and it got scarier or it got twisted and dark and confusing because, but the other times of your life are the times where you put more weight on it. And it, you know, what type of person, just a human person, a loving person, a kind person has those types of thoughts. And we all have them. And sometimes we just don't, you know, everybody has intrusive thoughts. Sometimes you just don't even think about them. People don't remember them unless they're funny. And usually the ones that I remember now are just, they're funny. And so I go, oh, I just had a thought about taking my shirt off in yoga or,
yeah,
you know,
so your TikTok. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. There's so many times we go, oh my God, what is going on? But the thing is, we can't control our thoughts. So why should we be responsible for them? And there's a very, very big difference between having a thought and acting on it. Like, they're totally different things. And so, like, we can't be responsible. One of the things that was coming to my mind there, which I don't know what this says about me, but I'm thinking, you know, like, if you've ever like began to get intimate with somebody, obviously only ever my husband ever, get intimate with somebody and you're not quite present yet because your mind's still part elsewhere. And then you're like, oh, I thought I'd ring my brother early and I didn't ring you. And like, oh, why are you thinking about your brother or my grandma or my great? It's like, oh, what is wrong with you? Why would that you even think about that while she's intimate? Does that mean you've got weird feelings towards it? It's like, no, it's just thoughts are still there. They're still coming. They're still going. And, you know, we might not be fully present and therefore we might notice the thoughts that come and we might find ourselves distracted and focusing on them. It doesn't say anything about us apart from the fact that we've had a bloody inconvenient thought in an inconvenient moment.
Yes. Yeah. And it also made me think of, along the same lines of, sometimes our body just responds. So, you know, taking that even a step further, you know, say you saw your mother, your brother, your cousin, like come out of the shower, or for some reason you overheard them talking about sex or whatever, or you were watching a nature documentary, or you saw your dog, you know, your dog's private parts. And your body responds accordingly. Like, cause sometimes if you're just thinking about sex, you might feel some change or movement. And then people are like, oh my gosh, what does this mean?
Yeah, when it's like physiological groinal response to, I think that's why, again, this is like, we're getting quite intimate with this conversation. This is why I think, you know, for a child, sometimes it's like, oh, the worst thought in the world is like hearing your parents having sex. And I think often why that's so uncomfortable is because anybody that sees or hears sex, the body is going to respond in some way to that. And so it's really then might feel so disturbing for a child to think, what's this? What's going on? It's my parents. So what it's like, in the same way that I might see I am heterosexual, not gay, and yet I could see two women on the TV kissing and I might feel a physiological response if I'm concentrating or focusing enough on it. Does that then mean that I'm gay? Does that then mean, it just means I'm having a response to my thinking, which is sexual. That's it.
Yes. Yeah. It's so true. And also some people can get very nervous if they think, oh my gosh, does this actually mean that I am gay? Does this mean that I wanted, that I'm attracted to my parents? You know, and it's never the thought or the feeling, it's our thoughts about the thoughts. And it's those 10,000 thoughts. And then we just, you know, we think we're going to solve it by thinking about it. If I get to the bottom of this, you know, and then we just get so confused and we don't, people cannot really know. I don't know what, I don't know anymore. And that's okay. If you get to that place, it's just, all right, just leave your thinking alone, you know, and then when your mind clears, your wisdom comes and you are so solid about the type of person you are, which regardless of whatever types of unwanted thoughts you've had, just you're just a loving person who wants to be kind and love yourself and others and not hurt people. And often that's just why we get sticky thoughts, because we wouldn't want to hurt vulnerable individuals. We wouldn't want to hurt ourselves, you know, whether sometimes it can be about contamination or in terms of the sexual orientation, it's like we'd want to be true to ourselves or true to our partner, but we just overthink it. And I think especially for me, when it comes to sexuality, you know, if I think about it too much, then it's just confusing. And it's just like, if I just get pregnant, and it's like, well, right now I'm in a heterosexual relationship and that's how I identify. And that can be a whole other discussion, but if people are listening,
discussion, yeah,
it is. But I think also I'm able to entertain it because it's not a sticky area for me. And it's, you know, for some people, if where they're at, they're like, I don't want to think about it too much. Great. You know, then you just come back to the present and where you are right now. But I'm wondering if people are listening and they're like, because I know that people can really, their lives can become almost not unmanageable, but I guess that is the word that's coming. You know, they can suffer so much with intrusive thoughts, and primarily the ones that I've seen people suffer with when it comes to harm, you know, worrying about hurting themselves or people that they love. Or just sometimes, what if they just went crazy, you know, and lost control? And it's this kind of feeling of, oh, I need to be in control. And if I didn't, I just might act on these. And it's so interesting because it's like, well, what if it's something more? What if it's this? And it's so clear to me when I talk to people, it's just anxiety, you know, which is, you know, or with some obsessions, a lot of overthinking. And it is not, it's the opposite end of just acting impulsively. It's actually over control, but it can completely feel like,
yeah, it's completely different. I think that's where people worry, is that impulsivity, like you've said, what if I become impulsive? But the very nature of you questioning your impulsivity means that you're more in control than you kind of, you know, believe, in a sense that, and I know this is massively generalizing, but I've worked in prisons for a number of years on probation. And I've been around lots of behaviorally impulsive people. And honestly, they don't sit worrying about thoughts that they have about punching or stabbing the next person. Like, they're not suffering like you, because to them it's like, well, I'm just going to do that. And they justify their reasons for doing that. It doesn't come because their thought, you know, it was like, they had a thought and then all of a sudden they're fighting constantly. It's so much more than that. It's, you know, it's a totally different thing than having a thought and acting upon it. And if every single one of us that had some sort of intrusive thought, if that meant something about us, then quite frankly, there wouldn't be one person in this world on this planet that we'd want to be around.
I know, because I've heard people that I've worked with, they said, well, but how can I, like, they just feel such guilt and shame and disgust because they also feel like they're just a fraud and who could be friends with them or who could love them. And it's like, just as you said, if we went in and we opened up all of our thoughts, well, some of us, I bet you and I, because we probably have a lot of thoughts to just come and go, we'd be surprised. We'd be like, I didn't have that thought. You know, where you just, it's like, I don't know, sex, food, hurt, like it just comes. And it's just, I remember it was probably maybe 3 years ago, I had gotten to a good place, but then I had a thought about, sometimes I would just worry because I love babies so much. Like, just mine wasn't really a what if, it was just kind of this image, this knowing, oh, babies are so precious. Like, what if I just like threw a baby against the wall or something? And I brought up to you, it was probably during the membership or something, I had asked a question and you addressed it. And I'd never, besides I had one therapist the first time I had an intrusive thought, like 7 and a half, almost 8 years ago, right when my son was born. I brought it up to her and we talked. And then for some reason it got easy. But, and you had said, all thoughts are neutral. The thought, what if I have a cup of tea? What if I kill my husband? You know, they're just neutral, but they don't seem like it, you know, because it's like, what if I have tea? Do we need any onions? What am I going to have for dinner? Ooh, what if I had a Coke Zero? What if you kill your husband? Like, you're like, oh, you know, we think that that one means something when it's just thoughts coming and going. We don't know where yeah. they are. And, but, and it's, and when you don't feed them either by resisting them or thinking, oh, I need to get to the bottom of that thought. What type of person? It just comes and it goes, not even on your radar. And, but also in that line, like Stephen King or these people that write scary movies or like Law and Order, SVU, where it's like people have all types of ideas, you know, and that's how we get super scary movies or where like sexual acts happen and scary things and rape and murder and terrorism, you know, but for some people, they might be, ooh, great idea for a movie.
Yeah, and actually we quite would often idolize people like that and see them as successful, like they come up with great storylines and they're fantastic and they're so good at their job. And yet, actually, like you said, they, you know, they're, where are they coming from? They're coming from their thoughts. It doesn't mean that they're then suddenly potential to be a mass murderer. It's like they're creative in their thinking. And they have lots of ideas and lots of thoughts come to them. And probably the difference with somebody who's writing stuff like that, they give themselves full permission to have that creative flow of thinking. They embrace it. They want the thoughts to come thick and fast. And one of the things I always say to people is if you're asleep and you're dreaming, that's the same. Your thoughts are still coming out of your control, coming all the time. I've had dreams that I've had sex with other people. I've had dreams that I've hurt people. I used to have this weird reoccurring dream that I would have a fight with someone and suddenly they'd turn into a goldfish. And I'd put the goldfish in my pocket and then I'd disappear, go somewhere, and then I'd be frantically looking for this goldfish in my pocket going, oh, I hope I've not killed the goldfish because that's the person. Random, like so random, but I had that a lot. Like always people just turning into goldfish. And yet I wouldn't kind of wake up and go, oh my God, I'm like a goldfish killer. What, like, what does that say about me? I laugh about it. I just think, wow, what a combination of crazy thoughts all put together in this illusion. And yet we are doing the exact same thing when we are awake, but with just a different level of consciousness, awareness, and we can treat it like the same. Yeah. We can't control our thinking during the day either. It's just that because our senses are more alive, if you like, and we're so much more seduced by that awareness that we've got when we're awake, makes it feel so much more real. But, you know, like I said, I wouldn't judge myself for turning people into goldfish.
Yeah, yeah. And you wouldn't do anything to, you know, because I had a weird dream last night. And it kind of like stuck with me. Like when I woke up and realized it was a dream, I'm like, oh, you know, but sometimes you feel a little bit like, ugh. Like, yeah. You know, when you wake up, you kind of are still in that feeling of, did I lose the goldfish? But you don't do anything. You know, we have this deeper knowing that as we carry on with the day, we're just going to get more engaged and it's going to flow. And I think what people innocently do is they think, oh, like, oh, I need to either resist these or I need to distract myself. But when you truly understand that they mean nothing about you, there's nothing that you need to do, then you just, then there's this freedom, you know, and you just end up getting present in your life. And on that note, because they are meaningless, but through working with Dr. Pettit, sometimes he says they are a signal with information from love. He shared about when he was, you know, speaking at a convention somewhere, I think in Florida, he was at a stoplight and there was a bunch of people crossing in front of him. And he had the thought, I could plow down 20 or 30 of these people. And he got quiet. And what came to him was, Bill, you're exhausted. And, you know, and he just said, oh yeah. And then the thought flowed, but he said, if he didn't know it, he'd think, oh my gosh. And he'd go back into his memory of, was he violent before? Oh yes, this time. And, you know, and he said, and he would have added 10,000 thoughts and they could have found him, you know, curled up in a ball on the corner, the bottom of his car. And And I say that, and he's taught me that sometimes you just have them, you know, you just kind of know, oh, I'm pregnant, I'm thinking of having a baby, or you watched a movie or whatever. Cause sometimes our brain always makes things about us. We could be watching a movie and our brain's like, oh, yeah, that's a serial killer. Could you be a serial killer? And then you go on and on. But I know for me, if I have a reoccurring thought that I would have is being afraid of running people over that were crossing in front of me. And it almost did feel like this impulse, or like I had to put my car in park because what if I just suddenly like slammed on the gas and just ran them over? Like, and now I know if that thought shows up, it's often like, oh, I have a lot of thinking. I'm stressing myself out. Not that I didn't go there analyzing, because we never need to analyze, and there is no getting to the bottom. But what might come up is, wham.
Yeah, because I think as well with you, you know, you could, and like Bill was saying, he could have had that thought pass through his mind every single light he's ever stopped at and not even noticed it. Like, we're having hundreds, you know, thousands of thoughts, and they come. But when we are tired or in a lower state of mind, like, we are often more hypervigilant to the thoughts that we're having and what they, you know, what they might mean and things. Like, I almost like, because I'm quite a visual person, I always sometimes visualize it like, I was thinking of the symptoms then, but you know, like when the power plant and they like glow, they have this glow around them, like this toxic glow. And for me, when I'm tired, it's almost like I picture myself with this radar, this magnetic glow around me that's attracting sticky thoughts. And actually sometimes, you know, when I'm not tired or in a lower state of mind, it's like that magnetism isn't there. And so they're not sticking and I'm not noticing. But sometimes for sure, like it's much more, you know, for me, it's much more, it's so much more easier for these thoughts to stick. And again, if Bill had had a dream that he ran over 30 people, if he woke up straight away from that dream, okay, he might feel a bit jolted, but he's probably not going to think too much past another 20 minutes time. Is probably not going to enter his head again. You know, it's that, fascinating, really.
It really is. Well, I just had a session with a woman. She said, I took all these notes. And she said, but she saw it. She said, I took them when I had a migraine and they seemed really important. And she said, it's actually true. As you said, when we're in that lower mood or in that lower state of consciousness, it seems like, oh my gosh, I had this thought and I have this symptom. And then when you feel better, you're like, oh, that's no big deal. You know, and it's like anytime we don't feel good, pay no attention to what you're thinking.
Yeah,
and then, you know, if anything comes, and I think what Bill said, it's like, well, he said the power of a nap is highly underrated or something like that.
I agree.
Like, oh, you need to, it means this. It's often just like for me, oh, I took on too much and I'm probably a little bit tired. Like, and it's just simple, you know, and the way to getting back into that better feeling place when your thoughts are coming and going, that's simple too. Yeah. You know, it's not like, okay, now you're going to do these exposures and we're going to bring you here. It's just when you really understand how we work as human beings, you know, that thought is really such a gift, but we all get unproductive thoughts. We all get unwanted thoughts. Sometimes we don't notice them and sometimes we do. And I kind of lost my train of thought, but it's, oh, when we really realize, oh, we started believing and you know, getting caught up in these negative thoughts and taking our thoughts really seriously. And when we really notice that and we know it doesn't mean anything about us, then there's this natural tendency to come back into the present.
Yeah.
And a natural tendency for our cork to rise. And then we kind of have this better perspective and this deep knowing. And if there's anything to do, you know, like, oh, you know what? I haven't had talked to Sari in a while, or, you know, I haven't, I'm super sleepy, or, you know what, maybe I am going to take a break from this true crime podcast because I'm having a scary dream, you know,
because I'm very close and I've bought the gun.
It's a lot simpler.
Yeah.
The way to feel like to returning to that place of mental well-being where we all, it's inside us all. You know, and when we get quiet, then we return there and our wisdom can be heard again.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a nice way to end it.
Yes, I agree. And just to know that you are not alone with your thoughts, and A lot of people think nobody's had a thought like me. And if you are struggling, to either get quiet or go within, or if you know some people or somebody that, because I know for me, I sometimes like to talk to people. And if my friend Brian always said, if it's mentionable, it's manageable. Because sometimes, especially if we're in that lower state, it seems like a big deal. But when we can talk to somebody that understands, it's like, ah, oh, just that weight is lifted off and we can reconnect to our natural peace of mind and remember, you know, really reconnect. Oh my gosh, I am a wonderful person, and get back to that place where you're feeling good and your thoughts are just flowing, because that's who you are. We all have innate health.
Yeah. And we're not our thoughts. Yeah.
No.
As crazy as they are. Yeah. You can all look forward to a podcast post baby, and then you'll really see my vulnerability.
Oh, yay. Yay. Well, I will look forward to post baby thoughts.
Me too. Oh, okay. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we will leave that there, and we will see. We don't know what we're talking about next time. If you've ever got any suggestions, please do get in touch with myself or Lily, and we will come back to you next week with something new to talk about.
Money, maybe money mindset.
Maybe money. Yes, we're talking about money at the moment. So yeah, maybe money would be an interesting one. Money makes the world go round, or does it? We can have a chat about that next week. Yes. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.